Greetings, everyone. I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod. Joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Saturday morning ready to do some feedback. Find us everywhere you find podcasts. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We read them on the show if they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
phone jam.
And an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. 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 All right. Well, you know what we do. We gotta do the feedback show. And we gotta shout out all the people that did all the feedbacking. But first of all, we gotta shout out the people that gave us money.
May I have your attention? You are now listening to Charlotte's Own Rod and Karen. We welcome the good folks who tithe to the Black Guy Who Tips.
Today's a new day.
That's right, new sunny day, new money, eh? Nicole F, recurring donator, Mako H, Early Daisy Photography, J Fool. Marvin B, yes, Marvin B, Michael W, Chriselle B, Asia D, Annie P, Annie, I hope you're okay, Michael S, David S from Brooklyn, Tom W, Dana R, Noel W, Laura E, Nicholas Z, Bomani Jones from the Right Time Podcast, Jane M, and Pete B. That wraps up everybody. Thank you for giving us a little something in our collection plate. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
You.
We do.
We'll put it in the building fund. And I mean building our wealth. Okay. That's what the building fund is for. Okay, we got one 5-star review.
Let's go, 5-star reviews.
Let's check it out. It's called The Show Is Dope. 5 stars.
Aww.
It's by Colts Fan, who says, Rod and Karen are the two cousins you always want to chop it up with at any family gathering. Funny, insightful, pragmatic, and real. Found you all during the height of the pandemic. I can honestly say you both saved my sanity. Keep on keeping on. 2 muscle emojis, 2 hands up emojis, and a heart emoji. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate you. Okay, we all saving each other's sanity one episode at a time. All right, it's easy to go crazy out here. Mm-hmm. I don't blame you. All right, let's get into these actual comments on the website and on the episodes and on the YouTube. You know how we do. The first episode is 2890 Rapgate 2024. That was the title of the episode. Let's see. We got 5 comments on our website. The first one is from
Appia.
Correct. The last week I wrote about plant medicine. I wrote in before listening because I was afraid of what you might say. Sorry. I think we might agree overall. Well, here's the thing, Appia. Are you going to trust us or not?
Do you trust us, Appia?
I mean, we've been beating around the bush for a while now, okay? We've been together. You left Keith and the girl safety to come over and hang out with us. You enjoyed it. You write in every week. You come in the chat room sometimes on Germany time. And you know, we helped you meet more Dorotheas. You got black friends since you met us. When are you going to trust us and actually say, let me not freak out before even listening and write something? Let me listen. And then I'll write them after I've heard what they said. That's all we ask, guys. That's the agreement that we make. It can't be feedback if it's no feeding. Okay. You not really feeding us back. You know, you just giving us food without taking none. No, we eat some of the food and then let us know if it's good. Okay. Pharma companies are companies so they do what benefits them. This is a fact. The studies are financed by the money made by the sales of other products, but also how else could they keep existing? I often wonder if it was better if pharma companies were state-owned. I'm not sure. Some ways I think it could be, and then, you know, this is the ugly part that people don't like to admit, but sometimes the Republicans and the capitalists are right that the idea of making money in a greedy way has led companies to some innovations and some breakthroughs that they would not have gotten if it was just like a state-owned, like, we're just operating in the status quo. We're not trying to, like, meet the needs of the market so much. We're not trying to make money. We're not spending exorbitant amount of money on research that could go nowhere. But when these companies do it that are have a capitalistic impulse, they're doing it like, yeah, we're investing a lot of money because we think if we come up with the drug that can, you know, help weight loss, we think that's a $1 trillion industry.
And
I think there's a reason that you get private companies that come up with those type of breakthroughs that the government may either feel like not important, or we just have other tools. Like, hey, we're just going to tell people to exercise, or we're going to start a such and such program for kids in school so they can, you know, do better in gym class or whatever. But if it's just a company, a pharmaceutical company, they're going to be the one that makes that breakthrough before a government does.
Yes, because they have two different motives. And it's a good and a bad thing to be profit-driven. And also, it's one of those things where in a lot of these companies' zeal to do the research, they end up stumbling over other shit. You know, Viagra was an accident trying to find some other shit. So, you know, like, that's happened before. They was like, we got a 2-for-1. We end up finding Viagra, and we end up doing some other shit with it, too. So a lot of times their research end up going down other lanes that they wouldn't even have thought of.
Right. I don't think a government-funded I doubt that a government-funded pharmaceutical company would even give a fuck about Viagra.
Right, because
you know what I mean? It's like, well, okay, but that's not what we're here for. So,
right.
You know, but anyway, I think we give a pretty balanced discussion of it. So I don't think, like, if you're so triggered you can't listen, then don't write us about you being triggered that you can't listen. We do a show for a reason. And I don't want to turn this into like people responding to the headline version of an article. Like, no, we do a better show than that. We expect better than that from our listeners. We expect quality feedback. You know, we're not wasting our time here on a Saturday morning. I could be sleeping in right now. So
trust us, Appia.
Yeah. So either listen and write in to what you heard or don't write in. If you're not going to listen, because I just feel like it's a waste of both of our time at that point, you know? Sometimes a big clinical study is important for science, but the product never comes back because the results are bad and it results in big layoffs. I experienced it multiple times, and it gave me more trust in the process because you really can't know the results before the study. This costs hundreds of millions of dollars. I can imagine if the state did it, they would be problematic because it looks bad. Yeah, that's another thing. I don't think people want to hear their state government go, well, we did try to come up with a new birth control. We spent X amount of money on it, and we didn't come up with it. And that's your tax dollars at work. People would be pissed about it. So I don't think it's so cut and dry. Big pharma bad, doctors bad, health bad, everything bad. Just eat some plants out back of the yard and you'll be all right.
I don't think that's
right, but I think a balance and a healthy amount of skepticism towards both situations is fair. And I think right now, because of the way our society is, people are finally opening their minds a little bit more to the idea of these plant medicines or whatever you would like to call it, untraditional, whatever you call it, non-traditional stuff. I think people are opening their eyes. And I mean, you know, when you have somebody like Meok who comes in and says, like, this shit saved my life, I'm not gonna go on a rant about big pharma and now we need to trust the government, like trust the big pharma companies. I'm like, no, tell us your story. I want to hear it. Yatunde says, Rod was right. Regarding potty training boys, I consulted my husband, who has a better memory than me in general and a better memory regarding the children's childhood. What can I say? I was in the trenches in those years. I had 3 children in 6 years. He confirmed that the boys were trained sitting down, but started modeling what he did, and that's how they got to standing up to pee. I'm humbled once again, always thinking I'm right. Listen, I appreciate you writing in and saying that, because a lot of people I know that people have told them, hey, Rod was the one that was right, you were wrong. And then they never write back in to say, damn, Rod, you was right.
Rod was right. Yep, Rod was right. Rod was right. Rod was right. Yep, Rod was right. Yeah, Rod was right. Whoop, what was that again? Oh, yeah, Rod was right. Rod was right.
I don't just be saying shit, okay? I thought about it. I was like, yeah, it don't even make sense. Why would you start at standing up? Kids can barely fucking stand. They definitely can't stand and pee. No fucking way. Unless you just gonna wait years, an extra couple years to potty train a boy than a girl. It just seemed like no. Nigga, learn to pee as fast as possible. It's one less thing I gotta do as a parent.
Right. And particularly, like you said, when they smaller, pee and poop, like, yeah, it's all the same. So it's just quicker to teach them how to just sit
last
down.
Thing you want is just a house just with pee all over the fucking place because you try to teach them to stand. That's
right.
Crazy.
Pee and poop, probably.
Norby says, y'all, I was just minding my business on Saturday trying to catch up with the week. I was like, oh yeah, Rod and Karen going to catch me up on the rap beef. I wasn't ready for Chris. The last line where he said, bitch, was the too short energy. I let out an audible gasp. I really feel like this is Quavo's Kobayashi Maru moment, as in Quavo needing to learn who he is in defeat. Ain't no way he coming back after this. Well, he did drop a, he did come back. I don't know if it's over. I mean, I haven't heard Chris Brown respond after he responded. Okay. So maybe it's over, but who knows with these niggas, man. Outside of Cobra, this feels like one of the few diss tracks that the beat go hard, which is what I've been a little disappointed in with the other battle rap tracks. That's a good point. Yeah, dudes are really into the laid back dissing now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like kind of laid back beats, and then like they kind of slow rap over them. Now, that being said, if you count Like That as one of the diss tracks, the one with Kendrick on it, that beat hard as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And like whatever Metro was doing at the end of that shit, he was
in his bag, as the kids say.
He shut the fuck up and did some drums for sure, because that end of that shit with that, I was just like, God damn, he going hard. It's like he the beat dissing Drake at this point. Which had me wondering, what would be y'all top five diss tracks, and where would you place the weakest link in the rankings? Oh, mm-hmm. Man, off the top of the dome. Mm-hmm. Top of the dome. I mean, so
yeah, there's several, and mine is in no particular order, and I don't even know if I have five. I like Back to Back with Drake. I really like that one. That's, you know, that's more of a current era, quote unquote, but that right there, because the beat goes so hard, and that's motherfucking sing-songy, you know, and shit like that. Like, that was a whole ass vibe and bop. I play that for no reason.
Yeah, oh man, I'm writing them down now that I think about it. Because I feel like there's also a couple more I just want to make sure that I got. Say,
your bag is a lot deeper than mine.
Because I got some that I don't think people put on their diss tracks that I do. Right. So let me just throw some out there, and I'll tell you the weakest one after I'm done, but Story of Adidon, clearly one of the greatest of all time. I mean, Pusha T is not on Drake's level as an artist in sales, but I just feel like nobody thinks that Drake won that battle. And I think that's something you almost never get out of a battle, which is a conclusive, like, yeah, he won. That's it. You know, like, even Takeover and Ether, I would argue, is still one of those things where there's people that prefer Takeover to Ether and say Jay-Z won, even with Jay-Z going on the air after Super Ugly and being like, I went too far and my mama told me to stop and all this shit. It's like, there's still a lot of people that's like, no, Takeover was that one. But then there's still people in the Ether camp. So like that one is still debated. Well, it's got to be 20 years now later. No one's debating the Story of Adidon. No one. And Duffy was a good track, and none of us talk about it. So that's in the top five. Bitching You by Common, talking about Ice Cube, was, oh my God. This nigga Ice Cube, they had to get Farrakhan involved in that one. Because I said,
that was serious.
I said, Ice Cube gonna kill this man. He gonna kill this man. I don't know why. Like, I appreciate Common coming at him because I was a huge Common fan at the time and felt like he wasn't getting no respect in the game that he deserved. And when he came at Cube, I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Cube's gonna kill him. So that's in there. A lot of people go for Pac and they say hit him up. And that is a great diss track, one of the greatest of all time. And I get that. But my favorite Pac diss track is actually Against All Odds from the Machiavelli, the Don Columinati 7 Day Theory album. It was one of them ones when I heard it, I said, oh, yeah, they had to kill him. They had to kill him. That motherfucker.
Them bars was cutting.
That motherfucker was talking crazy. He dissed Nas on that shit, Puff Daddy, Mobb Deep. Mobb Deep wonder why a nigga blow them out. Next time grown folks talking, nigga, close your mouth. It was so bad. It was so bad. It was, I think, big. And then Haitian Jack. It was just. That's one of my favorite ones. Yeah, Puffy getting bribed like a bitch. Was in there. Oh, he was on. All right. Let's see. Bitch and you. Obviously, Ether and Takeover. Yo, Cannabis, when he dissed LL Cool J. What was that shit called? It was something knockout. Second round knockout. Woo, the first time I heard that motherfucking shit right there. But I bought his album off of that shit. That album was whack. Dumpster juice. Just, I drove back to the dorm mad as hell.
Oh, yeah, this is when you had midnight. To buy the whole thing. You probably couldn't even, yeah, because you went at midnight, you couldn't do the listening stations.
I was so motherfucking mad at this man. Because I said, I bought this album thinking like, you was one of them ones. Mm-hmm. And you are decidedly not one of them ones. To the point where LL had that verse about taking the mic off of your arms. And LL won it. Like, LL won the diss battle after that. But second round knockout, boy, it was one of them ones. Like, we was playing that motherfucking song on like, put it this way. Second round knockout is not a hit song. It's not a single. You can't dance to it. But we were playing it everywhere.
You can't dance to it.
You could hear it on the radio. You saw it on BET, Rap View, all this. They were playing it on Rap City. Like, they were doing so much with that. Yeah, that's one of the ones. Obviously, No Vaseline. I don't know. Out of all those, what's the weakest one? Bro, you know what? I can't even answer this. I don't know. Because I just feel like all of them is just... Those are classic ones. If I was thinking of... Shit, even when Nelly dissed KRS-One, that was good. Like, I don't know, man. I loved it. As you can tell, man, I love diss raps. I think there's... It's a rite of passage and it's fun. And when it's organic and it comes along like this, you just need to love these moments and just hope nobody gets shot over the shit.
Right.
I don't even know what I would say the weakest one of those is. And also because it's almost in hindsight, you'd have to say they're weak, right? Because is second round knockout weak? No, it was epic. It was groundbreaking. It was tsunami. But LL dropped that response, and then it's like it became weak. Is Duffy weak? Duffy's not weak, but Pusha T put out that story of Adidon, and Duffy is like it never happened. So maybe Duffy. All right. Swabby P says, Rod, you're not talking crazy at all. Good times. It was a comedy. The laugh track is the dead giveaway. I wasn't an avid watcher of the show, but the little bit that I've seen, nothing about it screamed dark comedy or dramedy or anything of the sort. It may have touched on some more serious underlying topics, but that is no difference than when the Fresh Prince would occasionally touch on a heavier topic, i.e. Will getting shot and Carlton getting a gun, Will saying, why doesn't he want me, man, reference to his deadbeat dad, etc. And no one in their right mind would consider Fresh Prince of Bel-Air a dark comedy. Yeah, that's how I feel, Suave P. Like, I know people don't like Good Times, but I think it's a long distance from, like, a drama to what Good Times was. It was definitely a comedy, even if you didn't think it was funny. AJ says, hey, Rod, I'm sure you didn't talk about this on the show, but since I just got home from the hospital tonight, it was on my mind. I was in a similar situation regarding loved ones leaving me for dead to get something to eat.
I did not leave him for dead.
Story of my life, AJ. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your pain.
I did not. I got lost.
I was in pain on Tuesday morning. It went away later on in the day, but it came back with a vengeance on Wednesday afternoon while I was at work. It was all I could do to make the drive home. It hurt so much. Unbeknownst to me, a tiny kidney stone was trying to work its way out my bladder with painful results.
Ooh, baby.
I ended up being in the hospital for 2.5 days. The day my procedure was scheduled, I couldn't eat or drink after midnight, and the procedure wasn't going to be until 3 p.m. That didn't mean anything to my mother, though. She left me alone in the hospital room to make sure that she got a balanced, nutritious breakfast. All the while, I'm writhing in pain. That also didn't stop her from getting a delicious lunch while I was scrubbing myself down with chemical soap and getting bare-ass naked in the hospital gown. I know that she loves me and would do anything for me, but I guess food is more important to her, Austin. Yeah, I've been there, brother. Keep your head
up. You can't help on an empty stomach.
I hope you're recovering well. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I hope you're recovering well too, baby.
The poll on this 420 episode was, do you smoke / ingest weed? And it was 50-50. And on Spotify, it was 48-52 with the nose winning, but that's still basically 50-50. So smoke them if you got them. The Q&A was happy 420. The responses. DJ Zenway says, happy 420, Rod and Karen, and I'm one of those Birkenstock wearing peace loving Negroes, but goddamn, Chris Brown won hands down. I'm not a veg, but damn, I haven't had a good beef like this since 1990s. James says, to quote the late Nate Dogg, smoke weed every day. Ty Floja says, I know you don't ask who made the potato salad, white boy. Oh, yeah.
He's making them jokes.
The Rick Ross.
Yes.
Roger says, I love how colorful the listeners of the Blackout Tips are, reflective of the intention, care, and authenticity of the host is the show. Much love. Aww. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Coach Malik Bailey says, God damn, Chris Brown. God damn, that shit was real. Langston says, I got to go to the National Cannibals Festival in D.C. for the holiday. Have y'all been? No, I didn't even know that existed.
Me either.
I'm new to this thing, okay? But I got some catching up to do, I guess. Had to go up there and see what they're doing. Seems like a cool time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. Actually, you know what? Let's play some music here so I can make sure we get our money. And then we'll come back and go to the next episode.
Psycho.
Music.
Rap gay. I'm sorry. Flip My Dildo, 2891, title of the show. Michael says, I'm not British, but I'm pretty sure Karen nailed it on the what party Rishi Sunak is in. His political party is the Conservative Party, also known as the Tories. What especially is infuriating about his saying people are taking too much sick leave, particularly for mental health, is he's literally a billionaire and has the audacity to be out here telling regular people they need to suck it up and not take mental health leave that their doctors are saying is necessary. Yep, and they let that man be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McKnight is trash, says EVE. When he uplifts his stepkids at the expense of his biological kids, it's sad. If I was the new wife, I'd be concerned because anyone who can do this to their former partners and biological children, they could do it to you.
Yes. Yes, they can. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, when it comes to things like this, you do have to consider how do you treat the previous partner. Like, that shit matters, too. You know, regardless of if y'all like each other, getting along, not getting along, that's irrelevant. How do you treat them? And even how do you treat their kids your kids matter also, because they are your children. They're your children, you know. It's sad, but I've heard a lot of incidents over the years where women get with men and they have a bad relationship with the mother of their children and their kids, and the current woman be like, no, I will, you can't do anything with me until you get the shit right with her and make it right with your kids, because that shit matters to me out of respect for her and your current children.
Yep. He had been going in on his former baby mama, his biological son, for years, and his second baby mama stood by him. Now, oh, I'm sorry. Look at 50 Cent, another trash ass nigga. He had been going in on his former baby mama, his biological son, for years, and his second baby mama stood by him. Now 50 is trashing her too. My advice to Brian Me Nice wife is to take him for every dime you can get and run, sis. Terrence Howard was so unserious rocking that Farrah Fawcett, but he did have some good points. I hope he wins his court case. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as the lawyer do the math and not him, he going to be all right.
He going to be all right.
Karen was correct about the prime minister in the UK being in the Conservative Party, called the Tories, and they're trying to pass some of the same laws over there the Republicans are trying to get passed here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Cue the Karen Be Knowing music, please. Yep.
Hey!
I got you. I was just about to pull it up. All right. Shoe Booty says, Jill Scott can go ahead and forgive and hold empathy for abusers in her life. That doesn't have to apply to everyone, though. There's not blanket forgiveness and forgive and forget for harmful actions. I specifically can't fathom forgiving someone like Brown who isn't sorry and hasn't changed his behavior, citing how it's the right thing to do as a Christian. Don't land either. We're not all followers of the colonial religious movement. Appiah says, exactly. The victim chooses to forgive. It's their choice. It's not a must. Yeah. I don't think she was saying we have to forgive shit. That's actually one of the problems I had with the backlash to it.
Right.
Is it's an individual choice. If she's rationalizing her forgiveness of this dude as an individual choice, I don't have an issue with it, because that's her shit. If she's saying we need to, then I'm like, jump on her ass, because she can't tell the rest of everybody they need to forgive this person. But I mean, she was on Twitter expressing that she sees him as a person that she's forgiven because of the things she's had to go through in her life and the people she's forgiven that abused her and shit. Whatever. I'm used to that rationalization. I don't necessarily share it. I don't necessarily believe it, and I'm not a very religious person. But I also have heard it so much, I'm not trying to like track her down and tell her this is symbolic of everything wrong with Gen X. Like, I don't really give a fuck. If that's how you move, Jill, that's how you need to get down, fine. It just ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that's true. And it's individual too. And I think a lot of times once people start expressing this, people automatically assume that if you forgive, you're going to forget. And that's not true. I can forgive you and still remember. You know, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. But, you know, for some people, they think if I forgive you, that means I have to let it wash up beneath the water. No, I do not.
Yeah, but I don't think she's saying that.
No, she's not saying But people that actually are responding to her, a lot of them are responding when people say forgive and forget. They act like a lot of times people saying, like, this is their personal choice. And then they come around and you're talking about, well, forgive and forget. Sometimes that's not always what they're saying, because she do say she remembers, she hadn't forgot, but yeah, she forgave.
I think,
but people don't hear that part. They just combine it and think if you forgive, you forget. And that's not, those two things aren't always true.
Yeah, I think also when she went into detail, they also took the stuff she said out of context. Because like when she went into detail, it was like, we had a man that abused me and my mom, and we had to escape him, but he also was great at his job, and it didn't make him not great at his job. It just meant that he also was an abusive man. And people was like, oh, so you saying because you forgave him, it's like, whoa. But once again, this is not a real conversation, and it's not a real place you can have a conversation. I'm more surprised at people expressing thoughts like that actually you can express to a person in a one-on-one situation, and 99% of us will not come at you with some, oh, so you don't have to hold your abusers accountable. Yeah. We will be like, nah, see how you got there. And we will have empathy for her because she's expressing her own, like,
her personal choices.
Her abuse. Not her personal choices. She's expressing her own victimhood. Most of us sitting across from her would have a level of understanding, like, okay, you went through it, and this is what it took for you to get through. And it wouldn't be a reflection on us. We might walk out of that. Let's say we're sitting across from the diner looking in Jill Scott's pretty eyes, and she's telling us this story. We might walk out of there and be like, couldn't be me.
Right.
But we not finna attack her and be like, well, listen, I'm going to slam my feet on the table and get the fuck out of here. Like, that's how Twitter is. Twitter is,
yes,
you flip the table over and walk out the diner like, fuck this bitch.
Yes.
Real life.
That's your response to everything. It's a lot of flipped over tables.
Real life, we probably be like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Right.
I see where you coming from. I see how you got there. I don't believe it.
Right, and I don't agree, and we'll have reasonable conversations, but online is not the place for reasonable conversations.
Yeah. Abby says, I'm pretty sure I'm also an empath. I read a lot about it. I can feel empathy for literally everyone, and sometimes I can catch feelings from another person, mostly sadness, and feel them like my own. When I was younger, I didn't know what it was and felt depressed by those feelings from someone else. Yeah, I used to get that too. I always need to use emotional boundaries to some extent, otherwise I don't feel the separation between me and another person. Yeah, and honestly, man, one thing I've learned over the last 5 years is, because I have really good instincts too about people, and when I haven't trusted them, it's really gone bad. Now, I'm not trying to be prejudiced or prejudged. Like, I'm not to the point where I'm like, I got a feeling about this person, it must be true. I don't do that, but people do certain things. I catch the vibe, they say shit, they do, you know, they walk, they move in a certain way, and I'm like, that person is a person I don't ever want to be around. And some people don't understand because they're where I was before 5 years ago. And they're giving everybody a chance, and they're absorbing everybody's energy. And I think once I ran into a few people that were extremely, like, manipulative with that energy, manipulative with the way they present themselves, who understood how to, like, kind of, what do you call it? Like, to hack. They understood how to hack my empathy into essentially supporting or dealing with a person I would not deal with in any other circumstance.
Right.
Once that happened a couple of times, I said, I have to change my life because I'm finding myself in negative emotional places that I shouldn't be in. Like, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything to get here. Mm-mm. And now I'm feeling like shit because of this person and the way that they're moving or operating or using me or whatever. And I literally just remember saying, never fucking again, never again. And now maybe I'm a little too much vigilant the other way to some folks. I'm sure it comes off that way listening to the show sometimes. But I'm not doubting myself. I believe fully when I'm like, I can sense the energy off this person and it's mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah.
And I'm not really looking for consensus or agreement on that. I'm giving my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. But I just, like, sometimes we bring up certain people or something, topics on the show, and I'm like, ugh, you know what? There's a level of, I hate to say it, but there's a level of, like, emotional effort that I have to put forward that that is, you know, kind of like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's anger, but it's like a passion that says, like, no. And it's really a reminder to myself, like, no, Rod, these type of people, you give them an inch, you look up, they done took a mile, and now you caught up in some bullshit. So, yeah, that you, and I'm sure y'all hear it on the show. We haven't had a chance to talk about the latest Club Shay Shay yet, but, you know, watching that 3 hours or whatever, some of those clips, I was like, I get that energy. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm not defending this person. I'm not letting my sympathy be used for bad will, for bad energy for this folk. Like, nah, I do feel the negativity coming off this person, and I don't really need to, like, justify it. I'm gonna let y'all deal with it. Y'all go over there and be supportive and help them through, and if, you know, help that scorpion cross the river, and I'm gonna just sit here and chill. I'm very cool with it now. And I used to not be like that. I used to feel bad for withholding my empathy, but I don't anymore. It's a finite resource in the first place, but also it's not for everybody. It's, you know, and certain people have literally made a living off of abusing folks' empathy and then finding a new group of people to use their empathy every so often, coming up with different schemes and plots and mechanisms to get that to engender that empathy that their actions do not bear out to say that they deserve.
Right. Agreed. And it's also, you know, one of those things too, to where, you know, I'm better at picking up on some of those things too, you know, because we've had things and came back for events and I'm like, something off with that person. And it's wild because I'm glad you understand me, because sometimes when you say that, people just be like, people brush and dismiss that shit like you hating or something. But you go, no, there's something inside of me that goes, no.
Right. But yeah, I just think, I had to learn that lesson, the hard way, but it didn't cost me too much. Mm-mm. And I'm thankful for the lesson, and it's just changed the way I deal with people in general. I don't need to get in the muck with folks, and I don't need to be on their side. I'm cool being you do seem like a messy person, and everything literally can't be everybody else's fault all the time. So I actually don't want to. I don't believe you know what accountability is. I don't believe you know what true equality is. I don't believe you really know how to treat people. And when you treat people badly and it's always their fault, I can't justify that. And especially when you act in ways I would never fucking act. Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times I realize over the years, it's hard for people to look at the larger picture, particularly if people are close to them or they consider them friends or family. A lot of times people do things, you have to look at the totality of their actions, not just their action.
Well, you know what it is for me, Karen? I think it's something other than just being close to people now, because people aren't really close to these folks sometimes. This is a celebrity. You don't know them.
No, you don't.
I think this is just something I've noticed for years now. It's if you are in the same affinity group or in a group that you are supposed to empathize with, people just let shit slide. An affinity group is basically, so if I'm a black man and a black man says something fucked up, I have to be like, well, he's a black man. I know what he goes through. So while y'all see him as a fucked up person, I see him as a brother that just need a little bit of help. And I mean, what about what they did? You know, that thing. And so I think this is where I think being a straight black man helps my perspective on this. Not that it's obviously the only perspective, but my whole life, I've had brothers that make excuses for bullshit and then rely on the fact that we both straight black men, and I'm supposed to excuse it based off of our affinity. Like, hey, we both straight black men, so yeah, you hit that woman, but she was trying to hit him first. Hey, I mean, what, we don't know what she said to him, you know, like that kind of thing. And most brothers are still on that shit. You know, if you see a NFL player hit a white lady on camera, and then immediately they're like, well, maybe she called him the N-word. They never go, and maybe you still shouldn't hit a fucking woman.
Right.
Or maybe he just hit a woman. Maybe that just happened. No, we got to rely. We're both black men. Emmett Till. And so people, for the most part, understand how destructive and wrong that can be now. They're like, yeah, that's not good. But we haven't done that with all these other groups. So when it's a black woman acting wild or irresponsible or unaccountable, there's some people who will go, well, she is a black woman and I'm a black woman. I don't want to say she's wrong. Can we have some empathy? Can we have some grace? Can we just let things slide? And it's like, oh, you're going through what I had to go through years and years and years ago. And where I had a waking up where I was like, no, because what you're really saying is that it's impossible for a black man to be a responsible whole-minded individual,
right?
Just because we went through bullshit and still go through bullshit in this country, it don't mean that we, if you do me foul, you did me foul. I'm sorry,
right,
brother or not. Like, I can't be like, well, you know, times is hard, so that's why he shot me. Like, nah, that was fucked up, man. I'm not shooting people. I'm not hitting people, so I'm not going to believe that there's something innately wrong with you or blackness that you get an excuse or that you're supposed to do that, right? It doesn't mean I have no empathy, but it just means it's not an excuse. And I think we're watching that happen to other groups. And so that's why you get this, like, yeah, if that was a man, I would be shitting on this person. But it's not a man, so I got to support her.
Yeah, and also it makes me think about this, and I'm going to use race. A lot of black people, see, white people exude this all the time, and a lot of times white supremacy allows them to do this, but they will not see it within their own group. Not the white supremacy, but the strategy is the same. Mm-hmm. You're in a group, so everybody in your group can do whatever they want, and it's always some excuse for their behavior, and each group kind of have it. Black men, black women, white women, LGBTQ, and everybody want to do these things on these hierarchies and all this stuff, but it does not excuse your behavior. And, you know, and also as a black woman, it's one of those things where I don't support all black women. Black women could do fucked up shit too. Black women could be wrong too. Black women could be loud too. You know, I do support us when we're right. You know, and
why does loud come into it?
And the reason why I say loud is because you have a... Because
you kind of loud.
I am loud.
Yeah. So why was loud bad?
I mean...
just asking.
Let me phrase my words differently, Dan.
Okay. Just asking. This is not... I'm not trying to fight you. I'm just... No. You're getting loud right now. That's why I was like, wow, I'm surprised that came out of your mouth, because you be loud. I don't think that's bad.
I'm going to phrase my words differently. You have a lot of people... a lot of black women online that are very loud, like their voices are very loud.
Okay, I see what you mean.
And so when they're loud and they're wrong and they justify their bad behavior by being loud and wrong and taking that, and their voice takes over the room, and people excuse that loud and wrong behavior as that's a black woman, just let her be. Mm-hmm. Regardless of, and they don't look at her actions. They just excuse it and they cover it and they hide it under black girl magic. Mm-hmm. They cover it and they hide it over you need to support black women. They cover it and they hide it underneath those things. So that's why I said I wanted to rephrase what I was saying, you can have a better understanding.
It's like to obfuscate being wrong, I'm going to be loud. And if I get loud enough or angry enough or intimidating enough, we're going to have to just accept that it makes me right. I know exactly what you mean.
Right, and it's one of those things where it's a strategy and it's a tactic a lot of times that people have a tendency to use to justify their behavior and not being held accountable. Yeah.
Someone put it in the chat. Stephen A. Like, Stephen A. did that after he went on that show. He basically made the rounds on Twitter and on media, and then he put it on his own podcast, and he was yelling a lot. And it's like, no, you're wrong. And now you're yelling to make us be like, well, he's so upset. Clearly, he must be right. Because why would he be so upset if he was wrong? And I'm like, he's just wrong and loud now. So, yeah, I totally get what you mean now.
Yes. And so for me, as being a black woman, I've seen a lot of these things. And, yes, there is such thing as black girl magic. I'm not against a lot of those things. But I've seen those things strategically used against other people. Where
I don't have to support you being wrong. That's all. Mm-mm. It just don't matter. And I think that's where we're at right now, is this affinity group shit has really become obvious and apparent because of the internet. So we see it a lot now. We see a big thing now is people go, well, when a man did this, it was okay with y'all. And I'm like, okay, two levels here. One, clearly it wasn't okay.
Mm-mm.
Because you're bringing it up because you at the time didn't think it was okay.
Right.
So you may feel like some people thought it was okay, but clearly you called it out and there were others. So it's like one of the things is Cat Williams went on Shannon Sharpe's show and told a lot of lies, some truths and some lies. And I remember a lot of people were like, he tells nothing but the truth. And I, among many others, on this podcast even was like, no, he was telling some lies too. And that's okay. But like, Shannon ain't gonna challenge the shit. It's not a journalistic space. It's just you get to go on there and rant, and apparently he's okay with that. So yes, he told some lies, and absolutely, some people were defending it because they liked the rabid piranha vibe of like, we're going after all the black celebrities I don't like. And some of us were like, yeah, but what he's saying doesn't really make sense. Okay.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, that was wrong. Even if let's say that it did go the way you said, and everybody was like, no, he's telling nothing but the truth. We love him and he's right. You are saying that was wrong for them to do. So now you're advocating for Monique or Amanda Seals or whoever else goes on the show. We should do the same thing that you just said was wrong. I don't even understand what the point of your, what is the point of your comment then? If it was wrong then, wouldn't it still be wrong now? Or is it only wrong when it's not the affinity group or not the people we're supposed to feel sorry for? It's just kind of a weird thing. So I know people are just human, and I'm not pointing out anything new that people haven't thought about, but what I had to learn is that's how your empathy is used against you, basically.
Yes,
it is. And I've just had it happen in my life before social media even. I just remember how many times morally I watched a brother do something wrong and something that I felt was really fucked up. And then I watched other brothers excuse it with the, hey man, we brothers and we got to stick together. Or, well, you know everything a black man go through. You can't. And honestly, it never smoothed over with me like that. Now, I'm not trying to cast aspersion on these other brothers, but I attribute it to my dad being like, not just present in my life, but being a stand-up dude. And so I just had an example in my house that wasn't a celebrity, that wasn't a basketball player or a stranger. I just had a dude in my house that did the right shit. And I was like, that's to me what a man is. That's what a black man is. It is responsibility. It is taking care of your family. It is loyalty to your wife. It is, you know, raising your kids. It is working every day. It is like that's the shit that I value. So a nigga being able to dunk a ball, but then he is accused of sexual assault, I don't need to glom onto him and cover up the sexual assault.
Right.
And I don't need that. You know, and I think in that way, bringing it full circle, I understand what Jill Scott was saying in that way, because my philosophy in my life is very similar to her without the part about forgiveness. But I have a very similar philosophy to life to where I'm like, Kobe probably sexually assaulted that woman. Mm-hmm. Kobe also great NBA player. There's no fight in me between those two ideas. They exist at the same time.
Yes.
And it doesn't bother me. Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, to a certain extent, like none of this shit bothers me because these are not my heroes, and I just don't know how to express that more. I don't have it in me to do the hero worship thing. I appreciate talent. I'm not a negative person.
Right.
I'm not one of these people that believes there's like an evil cabal of celebrities we need to take down and all this shit. I just personally am like, these are people, not. Nothing more than people, very talented people, famous, well-liked yes, people, but they're people, and people make mistakes all the time, and there's no bearing on me. I don't need right. to be seen supporting or not supporting them. They don't matter to me, and I don't matter to them. Like, the idea, I found it weird the whole week that people felt like they need to defend anyone that goes on Shannon Sharpe's show. For what?
Right, why?
They don't know you.
Yeah, they can defend themselves.
Yeah, like they said the things that they said and they have to deal with it, period. It's not really about taking teams unless it's only about taking teams.
Yeah, for a lot of people it
is. And that's what it's really about. Mm-hmm. All right. The poll was, have you ever gotten a doctor's note to get out of work? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
62% yes, 38% no. On Spotify, 57% yes, 43% no. Now, I will say, I don't think I've ever had a doctor's note to miss work. I think I've just been able to tell them, like, hey, I'm sick or something. But I have had the kind of job where I would have needed to do that. I just never got sick at that job. Just luck.
Yeah, a lot of them are like, if you miss two consecutive days, right, or three consecutive days, we need a note, which means now I got to fucking make a doctor's appointment and have them, quote unquote, write me out. And see, then, not your funny, you know, somebody like me, you make me mad, like, fuck it, write me out for the rest of the week then. Mm. Fuck you.
Yeah, you did that before?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't. That before, I've been written out of work, but it's just one of those things where, you know, if I had to do something like that, I would go to my doctor like, well, then just write me out for the rest of the week. Like, you know, you want to be a dick about it. Well, I just won't be there then.
Yeah, I've never really dealt with it, and then also I've always kind of been a little afraid to deal with it because of the money.
I can see that.
You know, like, does this mean I'm not getting paid? This, you know, it's just whatever, man. But yeah, that's still a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that UK is trying to take that away from people. Vote. Let's see. On YouTube, we got one comment. What's up with Terrence Howard's hair? He looked like Turner Terrence Howard. Ike Turner Terrence Howard. Can't count. He said 1 + 1 = 1. A bunch of laughing emojis. Thank you, Educate to Free Us. And then the Q&A was Law and Order Special Dictums Unit. Typhlosion says Spaceballs 2, The Dildo Strikes Back. Raphael says play that Karen music. She was right 100% about the British Prime Minister and his party. She might not know a celebrity, however, she knows her foreign affairs. I'm calling Secretary Blinken to bring her on the board. Well, we did play it.
Yeah, them. But like this, I might not know what you call the Tories or whatever you call, but I know conservative behavior when I see it.
You ain't wrong. You was right. You is smart. Aaron says, more like Raw in Order. Good stuff, Aaron. I like that. Roger says, anyone else hear the ether beat at the end of fucking with black people? We love a good rant. Mm-hmm. Here at the Blackout Tips. We do. All right, let's go to the next episode, 2892. It is called Sambo Calrissian. It's one comment only. EVE says, I wonder if anyone else sees the double standard of how the lawsuits are being talked about with Megan Thee Stallion and Lizzo. And I make this observation as a fan of both women. But I can't help but notice that most of the discourse surrounding Meg's lawsuit is men calling the guy suing Meg a bitch because he's whining about watching her have sex. First of all, how dare you? How fucking dare you? Okay? It's not men. It's everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
It's all of them. I've seen... Guys, I've seen people that are staunchly, extremely, like, you know, like, victims' right type people be like, but it's Meg, so fuck that guy.
Yep, if you like it, if you like them, that yeah, you know, they don't want to hear it.
I mean, look, we love Meg, as an entertainer entity,
yes.
But I can't even keep up with the hypocrite whiplash on this one. The mm-hmm. amount of motherfuckers just trying to find a way that this is okay. And I feel consistent because I've always been on team like, this the kind of shit that used to be like rock star shit. And now we're having a cultural reckoning with, are we going to accept these raunchy sexual stories as like, this is where being an entertainer is. That's what she rap about. Or are we going to be like, hey, this is wrong. And I'll give you another example and one that we haven't reckoned with that this will make some of y'all be like, oh, yeah, I haven't even thought about it this way because I'm just thinking of it today. It's kind of like how we all just accept that a rap tour bus is going to have drugs, fucking, and guns. Technically, that's a fucking workplace.
Yes, that is.
None of us think about it that way.
Right.
This is a better example because
workplace.
I'm taking sex out of it because if you take the sex out of it, don't forget the puritanical shit. Forget all that. It's a workplace.
Yes, it is.
That's unacceptable in any workplace that isn't a police headquarters. That's it. Like, you're not supposed to have those things at your job.
Mm-mm.
Now imagine if just one of the niggas, like the cameraman from Young Money, did a lawsuit against Lil Wayne and said, I was subjected to secondhand weed smoke. There were people fucking in front of me. And there were guns all around all the time. People shot at the tour bus. I'm not trying to be a dick. How many people would just be like, ha ha, what the fuck you expect? That's what's happening, but with sex. But sex is a third rail issue in our country for a bunch of reasons. Not saying it shouldn't be. So when it comes to sex, we're more to be like, oh, you know, a little, we're not going to just, we normally would be like in a court of law, like that is too far. That's fucked up, right? But when it comes to music and entertainment, it starts sounding like I said it would sound if someone sued Young Money over guns and drugs and women. We'd be like, well, what the fuck you get on the bus for? That's how people treating this cameraman. What the fuck you going on tour with Megan for? You ain't think she was going to be scissoring. And yet, when it's Lizzo, it was like, well, clearly this fat woman needs to get her shit together. Because this is an HR violation. 100%. It is 100% a different discussion.
Yes, it is.
You know, the only people that seem to have, I guess, kept that same energy was The Root when they put out that tweet. Not the actual article, because if you read the article's not that bad. But the tweet that said, was she the female Diddy? That they I guess they kept the same energy, but keep in mind, I'm not suggesting that energy is good. This isn't a, we need to get Megan Thee Stallion, we need to get Lizzo. This is not that to me. It's more of a like, let's see what happens in the court of law when some proof and evidence is required.
Right.
And then we can see how inappropriate or appropriate it was, what really happened and what didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not really wanting to rush the judgment on this because it's not even criminal behaviors. It's more like a civil issue. And so let's find out. You know, like maybe it is fucked up as the people are alleging. Maybe it's completely bullshit and they're just trying to embarrass them. Or maybe it's a little bit in the middle. And I'm willing to consider all three of those possibilities without jumping to any conclusions.
Right. Somebody says, Meg has no HR. No, baby. A lot of these jobs are non-traditional. They don't have the structure of your normal 9-to-5 corporate job. Rapping and acting is like certain genres, particularly when it's artsy. A lot of times don't have the structure that most people have. That's why a lot of people are confused. Where they be like, you ain't got no HR. No, we're not designed with
this.
And
the thing is, maybe they should.
I think they should.
Like, that's what I'm thinking might come of this if people stop being so focused on just the people involved and being like, it's either Megan or it's Lizzo. But what about, maybe we should imagine a world where it's a little more fucking professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We have an HR team. You get signed on. HR, here's the rules. Here's what you can and cannot do.
Because, like, I understand both sides of this because I would think as an artist, especially with the way our environment is, people love, and I imagine even the people that work with her for the most part, they love when Megan gets drunk on Instagram Live and all the girls are twerking and it's her friends and dancers and some of them are her coworkers and some of them are subordinates and some of them are just her friends. They love that shit. They love, like, people love it. To have someone that you thought was loving it turn around later and say, actually, I wasn't loving it, and we don't know if it's, I wasn't loving it, and I'm just finally being honest with you. I never liked these situations, and it turned out bad for me. Or it's them saying, I know that you get off on the public liking you. I'm going to say something that makes the public don't like you unless you give me some money. We'll see you in court.
Yeah, and also, truth be told, I hope they start hiring HR teams. And have all and let everybody know, so you eliminate bullshit like this because you have shit in writing, you have documentation, like it makes it smoother for everybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna be, it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, back to this. The only negative article I've seen about that is that Whack the Root article. While people have eviscerated Lizzo for being because she's a plus size woman, I'm guessing if Lizzo had Meg's body type, it wouldn't get half the coverage or the negativity. I actually agree with that.
Yep.
I don't know if any of it's true, but maybe these celebrities will realize they can't be too comfortable with their employees anymore because even the slightest appearance of inappropriateness can bring a lawsuit. It will be interesting to see how both cases play out in court. Yeah. Like I said, most people haven't worked in these industries, so they're just speculating and they're comparing it to working in that office job. But to be honest, like working on a TV show, I just saw how like shit can easily go haywire.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not hard at all, because I would actually say having 20 years experience in corporate cubicle offices and then having that experience, it brought so much into light. And I think sometimes my coworkers probably felt I was a little rigid or weird, but it was because I came from a background where it's like, no, you don't play where you eat like that. You just,
right.
You like,
you do your job.
Y'all want to go hang out and do a bunch of shit after work and, you know, not really knowing each other. Like, and then it's like, okay, but then the next day at the office, someone says some shit like, How do you know that's going to go well?
Right.
You cannot like them, but when you go to HR, they're going to be the one that has a good case and you're not. Like, everyone can understand where you're coming from. Like, no, we just got high together and we went to the strip club together. We thought it was funny. And yeah, they did say like, nah, I just want to go home. And we was like, come on, man, don't be a bitch. And they did go. But I mean, they seem like they had a good time. We drank, and now I'm in HR. And it's like,
correct.
Technically, most people in the world will go, oh, y'all see how you thought that was cool. And yeah, it's not really a big deal. They're the weirdo for fucking thinking they need to go to HR for this bullshit. They could have just said no and not went to the club. Well, HR is not their job.
That is not their job.
HR is not that job. You know, not saying that their job is always to advocate for victims, but their job is not to be like, well, I guess it's cool. Like, their job is to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, anyway, something to think about. Let's see. Any comments on Sambo Calrissian on YouTube? One comment. Jay Houston says, hi, Rod, Karen and Rod. Hi, Karen and Rod. That's right. I forgot she only fucks with you. I just wanted to wish you both well, and I'm looking forward to hearing you Friday live. I know you will be great, and since I'll be driving 12 hours, I get to listen twice. Thank you.
Woo-hoo!
And yeah, we did Karen Hunter's show yesterday. It was so fun.
It is fun. If you have the Sirius XM app, the archive is up now for you to listen to.
Yep, you can go listen to it on the SiriusXM app. Get the free trial if you ain't got it already.
Get the free trial.
I'm often on Karen Hunter's show on Fridays for Foolishness Friday, so you can catch me on there. So yeah, it was fun. We had a good time, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow because mm-hmm. our guest is going to be JL Covan.
Woo-hoo!
And JL was one of the people that we had on with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the polls. Were you a bully in grade school? Yes, and I'm doing well, 11%. Yes, and I'm down bad, 4%. And 85% say no.
Mm-mm, I was not a bully.
Meanwhile, on Spotify, 13%. Yes, and I'm doing well. Now, you know, those Spotify people got the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it. Yes, and I'm down bad, 2%. And 85% were not bullies at all. The Q&A, at least these dudes are rapping again. Raphael says, 2024 the year I'm into Chris Brown versus Quavo rap beef. Won't he do it? Isn't it funny old boy suing says he got fired by Roc Nation after mostly embarrassing Meg? Play Rod is Right music. Mostly. I don't remember what the order of events was. Like, I know he worked for Roc Nation and then he became a contractor. It's going to be interesting when that goes to court.
Mm-hmm.
Kadian says, make America rap again. Yes, exactly. Let's get them back at least rapping. All right, let's see. We got one more episode before we wrap up the week. We had no voicemails this week. So I'm going to actually play some music here so we can get this money. We'll be right back. All right. Episode 2893, Elite Milk. We had three comments. R. Miller says, I'm going to leave this comment before listening to the show so it's out of context. Happy let me apologize up front. Okay, well, you did apologize up front. I've had weight issues most of my early childhood. Again, as an adult, I got Spook and Egg Bay and lots of tons of weight right before, I don't know what that means, right before high school, which I was.
I guess a lot of weight, egg ton.
I got Spook and Egg Bay.
Oh, Egg Bay. I'm sorry.
It's probably like an autocorrect thing or something.
No problem.
But you know how these Spook and Egg Bays get be. That sounds like some racism, don't it?
Don't it? Good old fashioned racism.
You wanna take this table of Spook and Egg Bays? I'm good. I don't think they're gonna tip.
I don't think they're gonna tip either.
A couple Spook and Egg Bays walked in, and the Spook and Egg Bay that sat by the door is a good book.
Ooh, all that's right, a good one.
But yeah, in 2011, I got weight loss surgery, having done well. I went from my 240s at my highest to 160 at my lowest. My goal is to be around 175, but let it get away from me. I've gotten up to almost 200. I struggle with food noise all the time. My weight does fluctuate. I have to constantly be aware. Most recently, I started the Big O, which is helping with the food noise. I answered yes to the poll. However, being on the Big O does tamp down the noise.
I've heard that. Seeing like commercials and like, you know, people covering and stuff like that, and that's something I think I seen a documentary or something was kind of playing in the background one time, and they was talking about that when they started it, the food noise went down. It was a podcast. They were interviewing people about the podcast, about people, you know, taking Ozempic and, you know, those types of medications, and one of the people said, the person that said it was working for them was saying that that food noise you're talking about, when they started taking the medicine, it made the noise stop for them. Like, so they wasn't consistently drowning and consistently thinking about food all of the time. And it made it easier for them to just process and go through the world. And it wasn't until you said that's something that I, you know, have, is that food noise, you know. And I know with us changing our diets and all that stuff, I still hear it, but I don't hear it as much as I used to. It used to be really, really, really bad.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, the stuff in, like, Ozempic and Mounjaro stuff, I think it's called, like, something.
With Gove is another one.
Mm-hmm. Whatever the active ingredient, it makes people feel satiated so they don't feel hungry. But a lot of hunger is mental. You're not actually hungry as much as you're craving things or whatever. I eat because my brain literally is like, I'm bored, eat something. There's nothing. It's like, am I hungry or am I just like, it's restless, there's nothing to do? Well, I could be doing is eating some chips or whatever. Just every time I'm bored, eat a chip, you know. Like, that's definitely something that I struggle with. But I don't know that it stops the food noise, because I still think about food even now, where I'm like, okay, I can have this today, or I had this for breakfast, then I should have that. I just think it's been more productive. Like, now when I think about, like, the way my nutritionist has me thinking and stuff, is more like, okay, so I had this amount of protein for this meal. I had some fruit for this one. I had some vegetables for this. I need to have, like, a little bit of carbs. I need some whole wheat toast to go with this. I was not thinking about food that way at all before. I was just like, I want a big old sandwich or whatever. You know, I'm not like, it was never what groups do these foods belong in? What bubbles am I checking off for my daily intake? So it's just changed my mind around the structure of the food, but not the noise is still there for me.
Yeah, and like I said, it's still there for me too. And somebody in chat room said that they could see the food. Yeah, I can too. Like, I'll stop, think about something, and I can actually see it. Like,
she says, I see food, I eat it. Meaning, if the food is there and I see it, I will eat it.
You know what? Yes, because I was taught And I also see the food, like when my food starts talking, I sometimes can see, like, mm-hmm. imaginarily see the food.
I can see that.
And also, yes, because I was of the generation, it's something that I had a habit to break, where as a child, I was always taught, finish everything on your plate. And some parents are very, very heavy-handed, like, you know, adults are maybe heavy-handed with their food and literally may give their child too much. But it was one of those things where I was always taught, if it's there, eat it. So I continued that as growing up. So if it was too much, it didn't matter to me, because I've always been trained to eat that.
I don't know. You're weird to me because you don't eat leftovers. So I don't even know how that works. If I can't bring leftovers in my house, sit them in my fridge, and not think about them all the time. I think about them all the time. Like, I'm going to have those leftovers at some point. I don't know when. I'm not hungry now. I don't need them this second, but I'm going to have those leftovers. Oh, you know I got them leftovers in there. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to warm those leftovers up.
No.
Karen will literally let food go bad, never think about it again.
I don't know why.
Open up the fridge, reach right past it, and never eat it. I don't even know what that's like. She'll only eat leftovers if she absolutely has no choice, because I'm not cooking and I'm not going to buy any food. She'll go in there and finally touch the food that's been in the house. There's always food in this house, and if I'm not cooking something fresh and brand new, it's basically like the food didn't get, there's no food in the house. And if I decide I'm not cooking because I'm just going to warm up something that's already in there, it's like she don't even know what to do with herself.
I do not know why my mind is like that. I don't know if it's an invisible force or invisible, but I literally know that it's in there, but I mean, like, that food don't exist. That food don't exist in my brain.
I'm sure it's different.
I can't tell you why.
I'm sure it's different for everybody, but that's why, like, when I say food noise, that's what I mean. I obsess about food. It's not I'm just thinking about what to eat later. It's I still got that fried rice in there, and it could, like, that's how it is. It's you know, but I'm working on it. Just trying to turn it towards something positive and not just obsessing. All right, back to these comments. Michael says, regarding the campus protests for Gaza, the student groups I'm aware of, including the one at my university who are organizing protests, are asking their universities to divest from companies who fund or supply weapons to the Israel army. It's not helping Gaza directly, of course, but it's trying to put pressure on the parts of the world that students have some influence over. I know my university not only has strategic partnerships with large defense contractors who build weapons that are sold to Israel and are currently being used in Gaza, but also the university's investment fund is invested in companies that do the same. My university divested from companies doing business with the Sudanese government during the genocide in Darfur. So there's at least some precedent for this ask, even if this one is more of a stretch just based on how deep the U.S. relationship with Israel is. Well, hold on, Michael. I just want to say, I'm not downing these kids in any way.
Mm-mm.
Okay? I don't blame the kids. I think, actually, the school we were talking about specifically, it's different than what you just said. I think if people are asking their schools to divest and all that stuff, fine. If they're asking them to forego money from certain folks, that's fine. But you cannot ignore the conundrum that these school officials find themselves in,
right,
in which they are constantly on the hunt for money to subsidize the university. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Republicans have decided that they're basically targeting these universities, not because of any real stance, but because they want to be seen attacking them the same way they want to be seen attacking trans people. They know that these elite universities there's a very small handful of them. Very
right.
few people will be affected by them targeting these folks.
Right.
And they expect the rest of us to go, all right, well, fuck Oxford or whatever, you know, fuck Columbia. I ain't go there. Fuck that school. Fuck that person that runs it, right? They expect us to believe that. And then they basically use that to promote themselves, the Republicans, mm-hmm. to promote themselves to their constituents. Like, look how hard I am on these woke DEI elitist liberal universities. I'm the one going after them, right? Okay. That's bullshit, and we know that's not really real. Like, they don't really give a fuck about Jewish people or Israel or anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. This is a stunt by the Republicans. Okay. But if the university presidents try to call out that it's a stunt, they get fired like Michelle Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Two, this USC one, this Columbia one, if you go to The Daily, had a podcast episode about the Columbia one, and but I think USC is in a similar boat. But like, some of the deans and the administrators are now trying to do this thing of like hedging the Republicans off at the path and being like, no. Actually, we're really tough on the anti-Semitism, and we don't play that shit on our campus. So now the kids is active because they like, oh, hell no. Y'all not finna go up there and capitulate to these Republicans and make it sound like you, oh, we don't play that. We'll get rid of our teachers. We'll suspend our students. Well, then try it, bitch. We'll see you in the courtyard. We going out here and camping.
Right. Them schools are very expensive.
And so the kids... what has it been expensive? I have to do with what I said.
Because it's like you go that, and then they go, well, then we're going to come here. We're going to protest. We're going to fuck up your money. You know, because these universities are elite. So it's one of those things where like a very small percentage of people. So all of a sudden you get that negative press. All of a sudden people are kind of coming to your campus and you're getting attention. And then you have the you have, like you said, the alumni pulling money away. You got the kids making demands that you do things that pull money away. You know, so like you say, they're in this conundrum. And also, it still doesn't erase the bigger problem. The war is not going to stop.
Right.
So that's like, that's the biggest thing a lot of the time.
So the kids are now fighting a proxy war, no pun intended, I'm not trying to be clever there, but they're fighting a proxy war via the school against the Republicans. That's how I see it. So this is those kids' way of saying to those Republicans that are demagoguing the schools, because it's bigger than the presidents of the university at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, the real target of this are the students and the protesters. And it's essentially saying, quell your political unrest, quell your disruptions and protests, stop it. Just go to class and act like nothing's happening. And I think for the most part, a lot of these kids wouldn't even be out there if it wasn't for the shit going on at the top. So the kids are using the one tool that they have. I'm very proud of these kids for being like, we see something that we think is wrong in the world. And I'm not going to let us, what I would consider a smaller group of kids that are disruptive or putting their hands on people.
Right.
I won't let that distract me from the bigger issue that is being raised, simply because I've seen that tactic used against so many black protests and black moments of upheaval. My whole life has been, but what about the ones that beat up Reginald Denny? It's like, so we just throwing out why the fuck there's a riot? Like,
right.
We throwing out why there's a protest in the first place? We're throwing out Ferguson because a gas station got burned? We throwing out Michael Brown's life because of that shit? So I'm not going to get caught up in that. I think everyone thinks that's wrong. If you've seen a video of someone getting beat up because they're Jewish, I think that's wrong. Obviously, if I've seen I've seen videos of Jewish people beating up folks and targeting folks because they were Muslim. I also think that's wrong. I don't know who the people are that feel like they need to defend that kind of shit too. I'm not one of those people. If I see something like that, I think that's wrong. But the general point of like, hey, what is happening in Gaza has gone so far, it's just wrong, and we don't want to be seen supporting that, I'm with that. As far as the divestment of their universities and stuff, the last point I'll point out is I do want to see the consequences of that. That's all. Because, I mean, education's already expensive as shit.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if the billionaire people, because everyone's mad at the universities now. It's not just the Democrats and the Republicans. The alumni are mad. The students are mad. No one's going to be pleased. The Republican politicians are mad. The Democratic politicians are mad. Everyone's just mad. They're at the center of something that they didn't really cause or create. The universities don't.
Right.
And those financial interests are there for a reason, because we all in America are not really accepting of the fact that the secondary education shit is essentially just at this point a Ponzi scheme. Like you go to those schools and you just in more debt for the rest of your life than you'll ever really be able to work your way out of in a lot of these cases. Mm-hmm. And so these schools cost so much, and it's just a money thing. Like, where do we get the money? Where do we get the money? I'm interested to see what the consequences are if they actually, someone has integrity and cuts out from the money and says, we're going to make less money as a university. What are the cuts? Like, are scholarships cut? Are athletic programs, some of them getting axed? Are students going to have to do with a little bit less on campus? You know, mm-hmm. I just wonder how it works for everybody, because yeah. I think it's easy, obviously, to point out these are the problems, but there's also incentives for people that are there's incentives for people to get this money, and I would like to see what happens when they don't.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting because when students started protesting years ago, Ronald Reagan got in office out there in California, and all of a sudden, schools that used to be free, they started charging. So it's going to be one of the things where is this going to impact, how is this going to financially impact the institution? Yeah, we make these cuts, but now the cost of everything is going to go up because that the money that we're losing, that we got to subsume, we got that money got to come from somewhere. It don't just disappear. Like you said, where are the cuts coming from? Like, everybody demand defund, cut, redivest. Okay, now do we get less qualified teachers? You know, now do we cut services that are normally were included in your tuition? You're like, you know, do we lower some of the standards? You know, do we possibility we might lose accreditation now on certain fields because we can't afford to do the things that we need to do to pass their standards? You know, this is shit that nobody thinks about because they don't have to think about the consequences and or the repercussions to the university. They look at the university like, just do something.
I just want to see what happens. I'm not, like, I have no dog in the fight. Like, this is not a, like, y'all gonna see what y'all did. I actually want to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe nothing happens. Maybe life is very close to what it is now, and it's just like, oh, it was just greed, and they shouldn't even be investing in this stuff, and they should be making statements with their money and stuff. I mean, we saw similar things with universities that were deciding to give money back because the origins of the university were rooted in slavery. And I similarly felt interested at the same time to be like, okay, when they pay those reparations, what happens? Right. Like, what's the fallout? Like, will it change the way they dole out scholarships? Will it change campus life? All that stuff. And it's also going to be interesting to see what happens when the coast is clear. Because we're seeing that with all this stuff with racial stuff at universities. DEI programs getting cut left and right because mm-hmm. they only gave a fuck as long as everybody was vigilant. Now everybody's not vigilant. We done moved on to the next thing. And it's like, yeah, we can get rid of all this black shit. Mm-hmm. EVE says, I think this TikTok ban is kind of toothless. They have until next year to sell. And I'm feeling that by next year, when the time comes, there'll be something else to distract Congress. Plus, there will be lawsuits. Even if by some chance the site gets banned, not sure how effective it will be because another site just like it will pop up. And I'm surprised there's not an American trying to make a TikTok ripoff.
All right.
Just to capitalize off of this shit in case it go wrong. I remember a few years back when Vine was popular, when it shut down, TikTok popped up. I'm sure there are plenty of investors looking to launch similar apps. Let's see. Any comments on YouTube? Nope. And then the poll was, do you experience food noise constantly? 44% yes, 56% no. Let me check the Spotify to see what they say. 60% yes, 40% no. So it's actually higher on Spotify because they got the money for the food, they can afford it. Rest in peace, TikTok was a Q&A. Ernest says, didn't we almost have it all?
Ah.
Just Joe says, been listening to Pac from the 90s in real time to this day. I'm an old head. He my favorite rapper of all time. He would never co-sign a stinking ass beige BBL warrior to use anything of his. Man, I don't even know. I wish we could have got to see Tupac get old, honestly. Because mm-hmm. I think it would have been fun to see how he changed, you know. I mean, who had Ice Cube doing what he's doing today?
Right? Ain't no, right. No, who knows what their career was. Same thing with Snoop Dogg and some of these other people.
Ice-T?
Yeah, child. It's a, it's, you have a whole generation that don't know nothing about Ice-T rapping. They know he the dude on SVU.
Yeah. So who had any of this shit in the books? I didn't see it coming. All right. I don't think we have any voicemails, so we need to get to the emails to wrap up the show. Gonna play another beat because you know how we dizzle over here. Let's see. Email times. You can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com, and you know how it is, we read them on the show and all that stuff. Let's see how many we got today. Let me just make sure I got them all in there. Okay, I think I do. All right, let's see, we got three. All right, let's see. Two actually. Rhea says, hey, internet, niece and nephew, I'm so proud of you both. I'm 2 hours into the Karen Hunter show. I just wanted to stop and say you did an excellent job.
Yay!
I expect for your SiriusXM contract to be on the way any day now. Great job to both of you. Love you, your internet play auntie. Hugs and kisses. Thank you, Rhea.
Thank you.
And I don't know if it's a contract situation. I don't think that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. But we definitely appreciate it and the opportunity. And
had a good time.
And, you know, probably talk about it a little more in depth either on pregame or on what are the episodes throughout the week. But it was like a fun learning experience. It was juggling a lot of stuff at the same time for me. And honestly, I'm really proud and happy that I was even able to pull it off in a way that made anybody feel like it was good, because I know that radio is different than podcasting.
It is.
And you know, like Karen Hunter texted me after like some pointers and stuff. It was still, you know, like positive and very nice and sweet of her, but it was also like, here's things that you can improve on, here's ways you can do it differently. And it's really the kind of thing that I think you almost can't learn it unless you do it.
Right.
Or unless you really watch somebody do it a lot. And even then it's jazz. It's on the fly. It's every show is different. Everything is different. Every guest and caller is different. Thousands of hours of podcasting definitely has helped.
Yeah.
But in some significant ways, podcasting is different from radio, and hosting is different from being a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's a thing where she'll have us do it from time to time, or have us back, or maybe not. That's also okay. You know, like mm-hmm. I just thought it was fun, and I didn't want to turn it down when she offered, just because I was like, the mode I'm in now is like, why not? Let me try it and then see. Because we could have said, it was sent to me. I could have said, no, that's not really my thing. Let somebody else do it. And I was like, nah, let's see. Because maybe maybe I'm good at it. Maybe it's something I can work on and get better at. Or maybe, and maybe it's in our future, or maybe it's not. But I'll never know if I just say no.
Right.
Lastly is from John, who says, good morning, Rod and Karen. I've been so enjoying these recaps of the diss war between rappers. Roger, unrestrained enjoyment of the mess makes it so fun. Yeah, and I hope people understand that. I really do, because I'm a principled person, and I know I come off high and mighty sometimes. I'm sure anyone that does a fucking podcast for a living comes off high and mighty, because mm-hmm. you're expressing how you feel about shit. Mm-hmm. And all of us have our particular feelings for our own reasons. But I try to be as transparent as possible about the fact that I love mess. Okay. I'm not judgmental of reality TV as much as I'm not satiated by reality TV. This shit is lightweight. I don't give a fuck which Real Housewives don't like each other. I was in it when motherfuckers was getting stabbed on boats. That's what I come from. That's what I need that.
Right.
So it's not like you should be judging me when you hear me say,
yes!
When I'm like, yeah, I can't even watch Love and Hip Hop, man. They ain't nobody got beat up since Jocelyn was on the show.
Ain't nobody got stabbed, and they look like, I'm like, yeah, see, that's the difference.
Yeah, but instead they always feel like I'm judging them because that's what most people are doing. Right. Anyway, my point being, I like mess. And if you're going to, and I completely can compartmentalize it. It says nothing about me that I enjoy this mess. Nothing. I am not calling no women bitches that I used to have sex with in order to make another man who also had sex with them feel like less of a man. I would never do no shit like that. Mm-mm. But would I watch Quavo do it? Oh, you absolutely yes. The fuck right I would. That's what I came for. I have never gotten a ring and tried to knock another man out. Would I watch someone else give somebody CTE? Every Sunday, I'll be there. I'll be there.
I'll be there at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
And you won't see me pontificating and hemming and hawing about it or pretending to be fake mad because I know I'm part of the problem.
Yes, I am.
I'm here for the mess. What the fuck am I? Why are we pretending otherwise? If anything, I'm annoyed by those who participate in the mess and then want to act like they better than me.
Right there. Oh, they're above it. Nope, you're not above it.
Quickest way to get me out of your circle is to try to come off high-minded on some shit that we both know we here for the disgusting mess. You know, it's the worst. It's like, I was watching pornography the other day, and I really wonder about the well-being of the people as I'm, you know, coming all over my hands. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Just stop. I don't know who you're doing this for. I'm sorry that the church guilt got to you that bad. I'm sorry that it's still in your head. But you were not worried about that, or you wouldn't have watched it. So we watched it for the same reason. We want to see these people pretend to be step siblings. That's why we're watching
and we
it.
We know they're not real step siblings. It's against the law.
We're watching it for the same reason. How is he gonna help her change her tire unless they have sex? Cause she ain't got the money.
Right.
Okay.
Right. A random pizza got delivered this shit in order. She ain't got the money.
I'm just saying. Why are we pretending like you better than we're not better than this?
Her pipe's broken. She needs a pipe.
Right. We're not better than this. So that's the thing that I think is funny is like I come to the diss battle and I think my friends are so used to, you know, being high-minded and thoughtful and stuff. And I am. But, man, not for this. Like, you messing up the time, man. We at the fight club. We about to watch two people fight. And you like, honestly, if you think about it, violence should not. No! No! Get out!
Get out! Right! Right! Boo this man! Boo! We booing you out the room.
I think you need to consider starting the segments with I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama sound effect. I appreciate your honesty. These segments are fascinating and hilarious. Yeah, man. I just don't get anything out of pretending to be, quote unquote, better. I guess performing for y'all or performing right. for people that I'm better than this. Like, no, I like my boxing knockouts. I like my football violent. I like my beefs. As
beefing
with all the isms, like I don't, I've never been like, what a polite takedown of that young man. No, mm-mm. I've only been like, he called you a bitch, nigga. God damn,
like,
what you gonna do?
Go at his neck.
What you gonna do about that? You got to shoot this nigga. Like that's how. Anyway,
we are no better, y'all.
Karen, you are right about the fact that if you can't smell your food, it must be healthy. This is why I always pinch my nose while eating deep fried Twinkies. This is also why my people are so into snorting caffeine. If we can get to a point of not smelling anything, then everything we eat will be healthy. That's just science. I think Oppie is going to have some things to say about that. The real question with AI girlfriends is how are they going to affect the gender wars? Will my big titted, unnaturally smooth skin anime ass girlfriend know how to respond when I offer her some ant covered chicken wings? I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
She probably will love it. She'll be like, I will eat those. Some things you just can't program. Yeah, you won't.
No, you
can't.
Oh,
I see what you mean, John. Yeah.
No, you can't.
We won't get gender wars out of it because it's going to go along with whatever. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, it won't be gender wars. It'd be gender war. One single gender. Gender just telling the other person what to do.
Yeah, it won't be a war at all.
Mm-mm.
All right, that's it for everything this week. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back tomorrow. I believe it's at 10 a.m. with JL Covan. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about all kinds of stuff with him. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.